This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. Want to focus on things happening with the Oregon State University Extension Service. Logan Bennett and Sarah Schwartz in this afternoon. And Logan, let's start off with you. I know this is a kind of a busy time for people in the ag community.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Kyle. Yeah, as we get going into fall and heading towards winter, it's harvest time for a lot of folks, so we're getting ready to pick up those crops, get them out, or clean up the farm or garden, getting ready for winter.
So where are we at right now with some of the crops and when they're harvested?
Yeah, so hazelnuts are on the ground right now. If you're a hazelnut farmer, you probably have been sweeping already to get those picked up. And we're sort of mid-apple season. With apples, they can go all the way into January, so depending on the variety, you're probably picking by now.
And anything else out there that's still being harvested?
Yeah, there's a few. If you're, depending on what kind of vegetables you're growing, you might be picking late season summer crops or getting ready to plant your winter crops or already in it. And then right now is about the time to get ready to plant your garlic and shallots too.
Now, what about corn?
Corn. So corn can be planted successionally, meaning you can plant it multiple weeks apart. And so depending on what variety you plant, and when you planted it, you could be harvesting right now or still growing it out.
Okay, and so people could still find fresh corn then if they know where to look?
Probably, yeah.
All right, very good. Let's see, let's talk about your Fall Master Gardener training program.
Yeah, so we're in week four of the Master Gardener training right now. It's super exciting. We have 30 new students coming into the program, and yesterday we did a new thing. We went on a field trip to a flower farm. That was pretty fun.
Now, flower farm, define that.
Yeah, so we went to a farm called Rustic Rivers, and it is a cut flower operation. And the reason we went there was to see how different kinds of flowers are produced and how they grow, and then try to correlate that back to how you would do it in your own home garden. But it was a really fun educational experience.
What's the age range of some of the people you've got on this program?
So the Master Gardener program welcomes anybody who is 18 and older. And we're really excited to have you. We tend to actually have folks from all sorts of age ranges joining the program this year.
And so right now it's too late to jump in, though, at this point, right?
Yeah, we're a little bit too far into the program this season, but if it's something you're interested in, make sure to get a hold of me. We start recruiting early in the summer, and it fills up really quickly.
And Sarah Schwartz is in with you now. You've got a special thing coming up with Explore Days. Get close to the microphone. Tell us about that.
Yes. So next Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be having fourth graders from all over Douglas County coming out to the Douglas County Fairgrounds to participate in the Douglas County Farm Bureau's Ag Explorer Days.
Try to say that three times fast,
right?
On live radio.
Yes. Anyway, so we have about 300 kids coming from Days Creek, Glide, Looking Glass, Melrose, South Umpqua, and Yoncalla, and they'll be rotating through stations, learning about beef cattle, forages. We have a shearer that's coming. We've got vets coming in talking about taking care of animals, honeybees, all sorts of fun stuff that the kids are going to be learning about.
And this is really a wide range of kids in those grade levels. That doesn't mean they have any kind of connection to ag, right?
That is correct. We assume that most of them do not have any connection to ag, and we're hoping to expose them to different things that they might be seeing around the county or, you know, as they're riding the bus to and from school.
So what kinds of things can they learn when they're out there?
They're going to be learning about shearing and how wool is processed. They'll learn, we're going to have a bottle calf, so they'll learn about orphan animals and growing cattle. The Umpqua Valley Beekeepers Association will be there with a live see-through beehive, so they can look at the inner workings of the bees. And we'll have a retired vet on one day and one of our local current vets on Wednesday. So
a see-through beehive.
Yes, yeah. So it's plexiglass, so you can see all of the inner workings and how the bees are doing their thing inside.
But does that mean they can see you as well?
Well, I would assume so. I know nothing about bee behavior, so I guess they would look back at us.
Well, interesting learning opportunity. I am always a little nervous around bees. So, but for kids, this is probably a good time to understand more about them in a kind of a controlled environment.
Yes, honestly, last year, I think that the bee station was the absolute most favorite of all of them. The kids really were super excited about it, and they had a lot of hands-on, like honeycombs and bee products and, you know, all that kind of stuff that they absolutely loved. So,
and the kids wouldn't necessarily connect that with bees when they just see them.
Right, exactly.
So how many years has this been going on?
So this is our second year, but this event went on many, many years ago for a very long time. And the Farm Bureau actually tried to get every single fourth grader in the county to this event. The people that did that, we had some really amazing families, generations of families that worked on this project. And a lot of them aged out or have died, honestly. And so it's been something we've been talking about reviving for many, many years. And we finally did it last year. So we're pretty excited about it.
So how many kids do you think you'll have?
So we have 250 signed up. I had one school bailed out on me this morning. So we actually have some openings. So if you're a fourth grade teacher and you would like to participate, I would love for you to give me a call and get some more kids in on Wednesday afternoon.
So what number should they call you at?
541-817-2252.
Now, you work with the Farm Bureau on this, so a lot of different people involved.
Yes. So the Farm Bureau is the one organizing this event, but we have a ton of sponsors, including the Tribal Board of the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians, the Oregon Beef Council, Umpqua Valley Beekeepers, Northwest Hazelnut Company, and Wesley Orchards, the Douglas County Fair Board, Douglas County Livestock Association, OSU Extension, of course, Douglas County 4-H, the American Land Board, Oregon Farm Bureau, and then Sutherland FFA and Roseburg FFA are going to be out there also helping us to keep kids going in the right direction and, you know, gathered up together. So,
what part of the fairgrounds do you use?
We'll be in the Lilja Pavilion. So that's the pig barn during the fair.
Okay. So a good opportunity for kids there and still an opportunity to get involved. How long have you been in Extension?
I'm not in Extension. I'm just part of the Farm Bureau.
Ah.
Yes. So, but, you know, we love our Extension folks because they do lots of stuff with us and for us. So
how long have you been part of the Farm Bureau?
Oh, wow. Probably 20 years. And, you know, my grandparents were before me, and we have a long history of it in our family. So
then you must have a family farm?
So, yes, I raise sheep, and my brother runs sheep and does, you know, hay and timber on our family properties down at Azalea and Glide. And my sheep are just scattered all over the county, basically. So.
And what, I mean, when you have generational families that have been involved in agriculture, sometimes there comes a point where the next generation wants to go program computers or something. What kept you involved?
I just love animals, sheep in particular. We just have really strong ties to the ground that I grew up on, my parents grew up on. And I don't know, I just love Douglas County and the agriculture that's here. So,
and how many generations back does your family go with that?
So down in Azalea, I think it's five generations, and five generations in Glide also. So my brother's listening, and he will correct me as soon as I leave here. So anyway, yeah.
But I mean, that's a very long time and a lot of impact for a lot of people with what you've been doing.
Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know. This is my home, and I love it. And, you know, I love the people that are here. So, yeah.
Did you ever picture yourself doing something else?
So actually, my degree is in forestry, and I worked for the Forest Service, and we actually travel quite a bit to do forestry work also. And the sheep thing is, you know, my passion. But yeah, we live here and travel all over the state to work. So
you have no spare time?
Zero.
All right, Sarah Schwartz, more when we come back. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at Inside Douglas County from News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:47. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt at 4. Tomorrow, we talk with Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain, on Inside Douglas County. Focusing on agriculture today, Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, Sarah Schwartz from the Farm Bureau. And Logan, a lot going on. I understand this is a particularly auspicious day for your family.
It is. Today's actually a pretty special day. It is my Uncle Steve's birthday. So I wanted to say a shout out and say happy birthday, Uncle Steve.
Well, and there you go. How many people get that done on the radio? Other than we actually do that in the morning in the first part of the 7 o'clock hour with ones we've heard about. But other times of the day, you tend to just have to sort of sneak that in when the host isn't looking. So that's you did a very good job there. You've been at Extension for quite a while, and I know you're really... It seems like you always talk about how much you enjoy what you do.
Oh, it's my favorite job in the world. And it's oftentimes it doesn't even feel like a job. I get to help folks and hang out with farmers and gardeners all day. It's literally a dream.
And while you're providing them with help, I would imagine this really helps your own education.
Oh, absolutely. The difference between what you learn in a book and practical knowledge can be vast. And so even though I have a set of knowledge that I come with and experiences, I learn every time I work with a farmer.
And the other part of that, because with agriculture, and this comes from somebody talking who can't plant anything successfully. But I mean, being around here for a long time, you realize you've got so many different soil types and all the different weather patterns and different parts of the area that what you learn has to be kind of adjusted based on where you are in the county. What works in Azalea may not work in Glide.
Absolutely. And what works in Roseburg won't necessarily work in Reedsport either.
Yeah, so so that doesn't necessarily always come in the book from the university.
No, that's a thing oftentimes you have to learn on the ground by literally digging holes. And you're right, we do have a very diverse range of soil types here. Some that are actually really special, like serpentine soils, there's a little bit of that in Douglas County, and you don't see those very much elsewhere in the state. And then we also have some really great farming ground here, too.
Now, somebody's going to ask me, what's serpentine soils?
Serpentine soils are something kind of specific. They've got arsenic in them, and they have kind of a really interesting look about them. They're really unique.
And I know a lot of people in ag, I mean, they experiment on their own properties. They want to make the most out of, you know, get out of their investment. And that leads to research even about how close you plant certain things and how successful you are and where they are in relation to the sun, obviously. But, I mean, there's a lot of different factors there.
Yeah, absolutely. And depending on the soil type you have, whether it's very sandy or very clayey, which are the two that I run into the most out here, that can change your planting depth, how often you're watering, what you fertilize with and how often, and how well that soil holds fertilization.
Clayey.
Yeah.
Does that make it through the English class?
It makes it through the soils class.
Okay, well, very good. So let's talk about a couple of things you've got coming up. You've got, speaking of soils, you've got a class about it.
I do. On October 12th from 10 to 11:30 a.m., we're going to be doing a Soils 101 class at the Extension office. And that's a free class that you can attend. And the goal there is just to kind of give folks a fundamentals starting point where they can kind of get to learn the idea of what a soil might be, how to test it, how to get your results back, and then how to interpret those so that when you're fertilizing, you're making an informed decision, A, on the money you're spending, and B, what that fertilizer will do for your crop.
And how do people get involved in that?
Yeah, absolutely. This one is totally free to attend, so all you got to do is show up at 10 a.m. On October 12th, that's a Saturday, at the Extension office. We'll be in the auditorium there.
And you're going to do something about pesticides too, right?
Yeah. So I've been getting a few requests to do a pesticide credit certification course. So if you have a pesticide applicator's license, if you have an ISA or an LCB license, so arborist or landscaping, we're offering a class on October 10th. That's a weed management recertification course, and that's through PSEP. That's the Pesticide Safety Education Program at Oregon State University. And it's going to be worth, we're anticipating several credits, and there'll be a bunch of different subjects there. That'll be in the morning from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
And it seems like pesticide use has really sort of evolved over the years.
Definitely. And that's something that we want to pay attention to. Actually, in some of my pesticide classes, I go through the history of it. But we've definitely changed the way that we use pesticides. Now we use integrated pest management. So we're only spraying if we have to. And we're no longer on a schedule. And we're doing threshold testing. So, for example, in apples, if I need to spray for coddling moth, I'm going to trap first, figure out when I have that influx of that particular pest, and only then will I take action on it, because I don't want to, A, use a chemical that I don't have to, and B, we don't want to do anything that's unsustainable.
And I would imagine as well, there was an evolution from, you know, you take a big field and you just spray everything.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we're no longer on a spray schedule like that. And the chemistries themselves have also changed quite a bit. We're looking towards softer chemistries, things that are specifically targeted towards certain pests. There's one out for apples, keeping on the same example, that is a, it's called Sidex. It's a neurological virus specific for coddling moth.
Now, are there some people that try to avoid using pesticides altogether?
Oh, definitely. And there's nothing wrong with that either. As long as you're proactive in your management strategy and there's not too much to manage without pesticides, that's definitely an option.
So what are some of the other ways people mitigate that issue?
Yeah, so we typically look at it in this order. We look at cultural, mechanical, /physical, biological, and then chemical. And we want to do it in that order. So for an example of cultural pest management, a lot of folks plant marigolds near their tomatoes. The idea that being that you're planting a crop that will repel the things that might get on your tomatoes. You can also plant sacrificial crops, something that the pest will eat instead of what you plan to eat. There's also mechanical, so oftentimes we're pulling weeds. Sarah has more experience than that than I do. She does a lot of brush removal, and so you can physically remove things, you can burn them. Biological controls is actually something we'll be talking about at that weed management day on the 10th. There's different pests that are released, different organisms that are released specifically to eat pest species or weed species. And then if all of those get exhausted, typically that's when we try to go chemical.
You know, I'd not ever heard the idea of a sacrificial crop before.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense, but you put a lot of work into it. So essentially you're trying to take the pest or whatever you want to keep away from the other crop. Just let them have that and stay out of your way.
Yeah, they can be very effective. There's actually a blackberry bush by my house that I've left because the aphids go to that instead of getting on my kale.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
So a lot to learn there. A couple minutes left. Sarah, I wanted to ask you about the Ag Explorer Days again. You mentioned you're trying to really ramp it back up. What, like last year, what was one of the funner things out of that?
Oh, so we had so much fun last year. Like I said, the honeybees were amazing, but also the shearing was a really big hit. We have an amazing shearing guy here. Dan Dawson is great with kids, great with sheep. And it was funny to watch the kids because, you know, they'd stand around him and they'd get just closer and closer and closer until they're like just, you know, touching the sheep and feeling the lanolin and wallowing in the wool. And, you know, it's great. The whole experience that we're trying to provide is that this is a hands-on experience for the kids that is very interactive and exposing them to things that they wouldn't see in their everyday life.
And while so much of this is going on in a county that has a lot of agriculture, a lot of your kids are in a city or they are far removed from it.
Exactly. It's amazing to me just how far removed the kids are. They don't understand where their food comes from or why there are sheep and cattle on the hillsides that we have here. Our hillsides are unique in that they're really good for grazing sheep and raising wool and meat. And not a lot of other things actually grow there. And sheep are really good at eating back blackberries, which are an invasive. And that's, you know, all of that interaction is really something that we strive to teach people about, basically. So.
And Logan, as we wrap things up here, if people want to find out more about OSU Extension Service, how do they get connected?
Absolutely. Check us out on our website at Douglas County Extension, or feel free to give us a call at 541-236-3015, or stop by the office.
Logan Bennett, Sarah Schwartz on Inside Douglas County today, 1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.